Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. It's 6:45. We're going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you, Lord God, that as we embark on this second semester in ever-increasing Word Training Center, Lord God, we're going to continue our journey in studying and learning how to walk in the spirit of honor. Father, we just thank you right now for apostolic government. We thank you for spiritual protocol, Lord God. And we thank you right now, Father God, for an apostle, Lord God, who is teaching us, Lord God, how to walk in God's government and that we may honor our men and women of God properly, Lord God, so we can receive the transfers, the mantles, the importations that we need in order to be successful in life and ministry. And Jesus, as always, if the Holy Spirit don't show up, you know I say I'll fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning completely and totally on the Holy Spirit to guide me in this class. I give you all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be teaching today. Like I said, we're starting a new semester, and I want to give you some good foundations on how to build honor. A lot of what we've taught earlier had to do with dishonor and people who walked in dishonor, but it's very important that we know how to walk in honor. So we're going to build honor today. In this teaching, we're going to look at the subject of how to build honor. Sometimes we have ministries and ministry leaders who disqualify themselves, and in doing so, these ministries become crippled. They're living in an area of what you call Lodabar, or low-level ministry, or low-level living, because of improper training or teaching. And one of the things that's happening now, because of apostolic government, and the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher being put in their proper place, that teaching is now being elevated apostolically so that people now know how to flow in their God-given assignments properly. And that's so very important so that they won't be crippled. There is a proper etiquette that must be followed in spiritual things. Just like, you know, when you know, sitting down at a table, you have a certain, you know, etiquette for it's which spoon, which fork, and certain things that you do. In spiritual things, there's a spiritual etiquette. Another way of putting it is there's certain rules of engagement in order to properly walk in honor, to properly be a blessing like God wants you to be. And some of those rules of engagement, you know, you seek your man of God out. Your man of God shouldn't go looking for you, and he doesn't. You seek him out. Another aspect is, you know, you sow into his life, or you sow into the anointing. I talked about last semester about upward giving, sowing up so that the blessings can come down, and that's so very important. And believe me, I can testify to that as a living example, it works. When you sow up, God's blessing come down. Guess what, a week or so ago, I mean, I've been retired from my job for almost 2 months now, and unexpectedly, but at the same time, I'm expecting it. But, you know, all of a sudden in my checking account, an additional $2,800 just showed up. So, you know, I remember the pastor said in 90 days. So my 90 days, before 90 days, unexpected money just appeared in my account. But that's because of sowing. You know, and also too, another area of rules and engagement is connecting properly. And that's so very important that you connect properly and stay connected. You know, another aspect of rules of engagement. And these, a lot of what I'm saying kind of pertain to ministers and people who may be in LTMA, but it really pertains to everybody, because when you want what's on your man of God, there's certain things you have to do, and it's just not going to come automatically. There's a price that has to be paid. You know, attending the meetings, like we just had the importation for the ministers' conference this past week. By attending those meetings, one of the things happens is that you're sitting up in there and you're hearing the word, but there's an importation that's taking place that that you can't even see. And what I mean by that is God is important things to you. Your spirit is picking up things. Just being in the environment, the anointing of God is saturating you and is elevating you to another level. And so that's why it's so very important to attend the meetings and also to serve your man of God. In whatever capacity God's called you to do, serve, you know, whether it's children's church, whether it's an usher or greeter, you know, singing in the choir, whatever talent and gift and ability that God has graced you with, you want to give it back to God in service. Because when you serve your man of God, you're actually honoring him because you're helping him fulfill the vision and the call of God that God has placed on him and the ministry. And when you seek first the kingdom of God, as Matthew 6:33 says, well, then all the things you desire is going to be added unto you because of your service. Let me move on. Unfortunately, there are many prominent young gifts in the body of Christ that are immature, sometimes even untrained, and that's changing because of apostolic order. They don't expose themselves to spiritual protocol, as we just talked about, how to properly show respect to spiritual leaders and dignitaries who have rank in ministry. As a direct result, they'll say things against dignitaries are ministry leaders, you know, that will cripple their ministry, or they just don't even connect properly. But what we're going to be doing here now is showing you how to observe spiritual protocol. And what that is when you observe spiritual protocol, you honor the gift in men, the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. Let me read that again. When you are observing spiritual protocol, you honor the gifts in men, the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. And that's coming out of Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, where it says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And when you honor and show honor to whom honor is due, you can't help but reap the rewards of honor. That's so very important. I'm going to give you a definition of protocol, but it's going to be a definition that's more based from a computer analyst or a computer aspect type of definition. When you have, right, take for instance, well, like Apple and Microsoft aren't compatible. There's no way you can compete because of the competition. If either you have an Apple or you have Microsoft's software, you can't mix them. But even say if you have Microsoft, and as there's different Windows versions that come available, after a while, certain versions of Windows won't be compatible anymore. You know, the Microsoft Word, the Excel spreadsheet, if you have an old version, say you're using version 7 and now we're on version 10 or 11, sometimes things won't line up properly. And sometimes they'll have to do what they call a protocol to you know, which is like a patch to make it compatible so that you can get by. And anyway, here the definition says, a protocol is a set of rules governing the formatting exchange or messaging exchange between computers. And then I added something to it. When you're looking at it from an apostolic or between an apostolic leaders and their sons and daughters. In other words, in order to get the transfer, you know, say if you have a computer and you're trying to transfer information from one computer to the next or send something somewhere and you're having a problem, is because a lot of times the protocol, the formatting is not completely right. And so once you get the format or get the protocol right, the computers can communicate. In spiritual things, in apostolic government, you just don't, how can I put this? You receive more from your man of God when you're operating under the right protocol by, number one, sowing into his life. You know, people want, they look and they say, well, why do you sow on the step? Because I'm sowing into the anointing. I'm sowing my carnal things, my money, so that I can receive the spiritual impartation that's coming from the man of God. And so there's an exchange that takes place. So what that does, that now lines you up to where now you're able to receive. Sowers receive more revelation, or tithers and sowers receive more revelation than non-tithers, because they can't, because they're not operating. If you're not connected properly, you're not going to receive the same impartation, the same revelation, if at all. Because it is, and if you're not under apostolic government properly, if you're just out there, you know, trying to get what you can get, and it'll even sometimes seem foreign to you. Why? Because the exchange of information, the way, it's almost like a frequency, you know. You're on one frequency, and apostolic government is on another frequency. So that has to, they have to be, you have to have the right protocol to receive the benefits that God has for us. And it's so very important that, you know, we don't dishonor the gifts. You know, never speak or say a negative word against an apostolic leader, because you're just cursing yourself. You're damming up your blessings. You're short-circuiting the flow of anointing that God wants to bring to you. But because of your mouth, because of your attitude, you're not going to receive. And that's so very important. But what we want to do, we want to be like Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. You know, he wasn't more honorable because he was either the first or the last born. You know, he wasn't more honorable because he was the smartest. He was more honorable because he showed more honor towards his mother, even though he was born in an adverse situation, probably lived in a slum or a ghetto area, but he never disrespected or dishonored his mother, but he showed more honor than his siblings. And because of that, when he prayed and asked God to bless me indeed, even as colossal as his prayer request was, because he showed more honor to his mother, God granted him his request, because the Bible says to whom honor is given, you know, when you sow honor, you're going to reciprocate honor. And so it says here that that's what made him more honorable than his brethren, so that his prayer request, you know, was answered because of the fact that he honored his mother throughout her life, you know. And so what we're going to do now, we're going to look at ways how we can build, or steps to build honor. The first step to building honor is you must walk in wisdom. And if you want to follow along in your book, I kind of cross-reference it with your book, I guess around page 102 in that area, and it goes back to in 120, 123. But number one is to, we're going to look at, I think, five ways today, if I have time to finish them all. Number one is to walk in wisdom. Proverbs 3 and 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Verse 15, she wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not compared to her. Length of days is in wisdom's right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. So in the hands of wisdom is riches and honor. You know, a person who walks in wisdom, you know, prosperity is got to be somewhere close by, because wisdom and prosperity go together. And it also says in his left hand are riches and honor. So there's honor when you walk in wisdom. You must always pray for the spirit of wisdom. I want to give some examples. And one of the things the Lord was showing me just earlier today, I know James 1 and 5 talks about, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally. But we can actually ask God to give us, when you're under apostolic government, you can ask God to give you apostolic wisdom. Okay, whenever I pray and I'm dealing with not so much a personal situation, but even so, but if I have an assignment where I'm ministering to somebody, you know, whatever the case might be, I always lean upon, and especially if I've been appointed by government, when I say government, I'm talking about leadership to do a certain task. When I pray, I say, Lord, I thank you that the same anointing that's on my man of God, the same wisdom that he operates in, that I can tap into that wisdom, you know, because when you're aligned properly and you're under apostolic government, you have a legal right to that. And so I say, Lord, I thank you for divine apostolic wisdom coming down from my man of God so that, you know, I can make the right decisions, so that I can say the right thing. A while back in ministering to a couple, and we were going through some sessions, and I'm trying to say, Lord, you know, I don't know what, you know, where to focus on. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gave me a word, baby steps. He said, you know, in your marriage, you're going to have to take baby steps. You know, you had a whole lot of negativity, but now, just like when a baby is walking, you know, say you have the mother and the father, and the baby's making them first steps. You know, they're doing this, and they reach out to catch the baby. And he might make three or four steps, but you catch him, and then you hug him, and he's excited, and everybody's laughing. And then you turn him around, he go back to daddy. But each time that baby made those baby steps, he got a positive reward from his parents, and that just encouraged him to make more steps. And then a couple of days later, you back up a little further. So now he's, and I said, sometimes, you know, and that was just apostolic, you know, and when I said that, all of a sudden it just clicked in them. And they said, yeah. And I said, and every now and then we can sit down and we could talk about your victories and your accomplishments. And then when you keep rehearsing that, the marriage is going to grow, and the negativity and the things that was hindering you won't even see it anymore. Cause you're magnifying something and you're not giving the things that's been holding you back in any place, you know, but that's wisdom. Let me move on and read some more about wisdom. The first step in building honor and developing honor is growing in wisdom. John the Baptist and Jesus both grew in different ways, but Jesus grew in wisdom and grace. He increased in wisdom. So the one or the first way to build honor is developing wisdom in your life. In Proverbs 2, starting at verse 1, it says, "My son, if thou receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding." Then I'm going to just skip verse 4 says, "If thou seekest her as silver and searcheth her as hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So all through Proverbs is talking about, you know, son, I'm asking you to, I'm crying out. Wisdom is crying out in the streets, the Bible says. God's wisdom is there. All we got to do is ask for it. Ask for that godly wisdom. And by doing so, you're going to build honor. You're going to build honor by asking God for wisdom. I'm going to share another situation. Several years ago, I kind of observed something that was taking place in the church after a service. And I saw a particular individual. As we know, you know, we've been instructed, no selling, no, you know, don't push your agenda in the church grounds. You know, if you have a business, you do your business outside the church. And I observed this particular individual from a distance, just kind of walking around. I picked it up. I can't really describe it, but anyway. And I looked, you know, in that direction for a little while. I didn't see anything. But then I said, well, look, I was talking to some other people. So I just said, look, I'll see you guys Wednesday night or Tuesday night. And my wife and I, we went, you know, went our way, went to get something to eat. And while we were driving later on that evening to get something to eat, it kind of bothered me. I said, something wasn't right about what I saw. It didn't look wrong, but it just grieved my spirit. And I just need to know what's going on. And my wife, we're driving to go to get something to eat. She says, well, just ask God to give you wisdom. So we just prayed in the car. Lord, we just thank you for wisdom. You know, if anything was done out of character, you know, that you give us instruction so we know how to proceed from here. And no sooner that we prayed, I got a phone call. One of the individuals that this person had went to had called me and described everything that went on. You know, and I said, you know, I had no idea that this had happened, but this particular individual was headed towards them. And then when they saw me, they kind of had turned and went off and started talking to somebody. But it was just, I can't explain it, but it's just what I had observed. But I had to ask God to give me wisdom in order to discern, you know, and then we were able to rectify the situation, you know, do what we had to do to make sure that this doesn't happen again. But it's godly wisdom. In ministry, you need wisdom. And I like what, who was it? I think it was David who asked God for an understanding heart, you know, that I might judge thy people. You know, that's what we need. We need that, and we need that godly wisdom. Amen. All right, I got about 18 minutes, so I need to move on. All right, let's go to number two. The second way to build honor is to walk in humility, walk in godly humility. And let me give you a definition. Well, Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." So when you begin to walk in humility, you will end up in honor. Because humility, let me give you a definition, is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. I'm going to read that again. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul. Now, the author uses the word spirit, but from our apostolic teaching, we know that our spirit man is perfect. Our spirit man is in tune with God, but it's our souls that has to be in alignment with God. So when your soul is in alignment with your spirit, then your body and your whole being follows suit. So when a person is walking in humility, it's going to be the sum total of a person's soul. Your soul has to submit totally to the power of God. Because a lot of times the resistance we have may come from our mind, our will, our emotions, or our feelings. You know, those are things we have to deal with. You know, but the spirit wanna go, but the soul has to get in line. So it's the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. Your soul and your gift, your talent totally submitted to God. Humility helps you to submit to God what he has called you to do and who he has called you to serve under. And that's so very important. Humility is when God owns you. You know, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, Lord, I like what Jesus did in Gethsemane. Lord, if there's any other way that this cup can pass me by, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, my will is to do thy will, O God. And when we get to the point where, Lord, I just want to do your will, whatever you have for me to do, excuse me, we're humbly submitting to God's will. And one of the things we have to recognize in apostolic government, when we're given an assignment, Even if it's not directly from the apostle, but somebody delegated to the apostle, I look at that as being an apostolic assignment, and I take the same priority as, because I don't have to hear from the man of God's mouth. If Dr. Montrell, Dr. Leroy Jr., Miss Shauna, Jesse, you know, even one of the kids, if they said apostle said we need this done, hey, I take that as a direct command. You know, because when you do that, you walk in humility, and it's not a matter. You understand the protocol and how delegated authority works, and you flow with it, and that's so very important. So let me move on. So we're talking about wisdom. And my time, I'm trying to make sure I get everything in. And you never want to mistake meekness for weakness. You know, the Bible talks about how Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. But yet Moses, because he obeyed God, led the children of Israel out of Egypt, led them into, you know, he didn't go himself, but he led them to a point where they actually went into the promised land, you know, and he went before Pharaoh and stood up and did what thus said the Lord to the point where Pharaoh had to let God's people go. So the main ingredient in keeping your integrity and anointing intact is to walk in the spirit of humility around all people. Because if you walk in the spirit, in any other spirit outside of humility, you give legitimacy to the individual or the attack, and God can't really fight your battle. In other words, if you walk in the spirit of pride or arrogance, and or well, you know, I'm just, it's my ability, my talent. And you start, you know, giving yourself accolades, thinking, you know, it's because of my education. You know, how God, you know, not so much God, what I did, my accomplishments. Well, then now God said, okay, well, if you think so much of yourself, then carry on. You know, you got it. You know, you don't need me. And that's when people, you know, begin to fall on their face because, you know, it's better to go with God than not go at all. You know, you want to go with God, you know, and you want to make sure God is with you. And when you acknowledge him and acknowledge your limitations, and that's so very important. I was sharing with somebody a couple of days ago, when I first started teaching the school of ministry, after every session, this was 4 or 5 years ago, I would get in my car and I would feel so inadequate. Lord, I would say to myself, Lord, I don't know if I could do this. It just, you know, I just felt like I'm not being thorough enough. I'm not being precise enough. You know, I'm not ready for this. But I said, if my man of God has chosen me to do this, well, then God, you got to help me. And I'm trusting you. And my trust is in you. And I just would come in every, but no matter how, and it got to the point where that kind of went away. But then all of a sudden, I see former students who would come up to me at a meeting. And this one brother, this past meeting, came up to me, introduced me to his wife. And he said, you know, said, you made how to walk in honor so simple, so plain. And I really understood it. You know, somebody else was telling me, said, you know, it was easy for me to follow the tests. And whenever somebody would come up to me and I would tell a story in my teaching, and they could quote 2 or 3 years later every word of that story. And how it affected them, God was showing me, you know, one of the things I learned from all of this was that be yourself in ministry. You know, I'm not an apostle. I don't have that anointing that he had, but I have access to it. But I still want to be myself, because you'll never know how God can use you and how you can be a tremendous blessing just being who you are, your talent, your ability, your personality, your disposition, you know, because there's always, God will use it when you yield it to him, you know, and that's a key element there. So let me move on, because I got at least 3 more to do in 11 minutes. Walk in the next area of how to build honor is to walk in the spirit of integrity and being upright in conduct. And that integrity is so very important. You want to walk in integrity. The third way to build honor is walking in the spirit of integrity and being upright in conduct. Integrity is a quality of being honest, having a good moral behavior and value system, virtues, righteousness, and honesty. Proverbs 21:6 says, the spirit of integrity, it says here, as snow in summer, as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. In other words, foolishness and honor doesn't run together. The word foolishness there has nothing to do with honor. But But when you walk in honor, you walk in integrity, you walk in uprightness, you walk in a pure heart. That doesn't mean that we're perfect, but whenever you miss the mark, you always want to be quick to repent. I always tell people, even in my speech, if you're in a heated discussion with somebody or somebody rubbing you in the wrong way, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And the reason why you want to be quick to hear instead of, you know, you never want to react to a situation. You always want to respond. Because what that does, that gives you an opportunity now to listen to the Holy Spirit and let him give you direction, you know, which is godly wisdom on how to defuse the situation, you know. So you want to always be quick to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, quick to hear, you know, slow to speak. You know, but at the same time, now you're going to be slow to wrath. And in most cases, you diffuse the situation because you walked in that integrity. Moral integrity. Let me read from Colossians 3 and 5. I'm going to read the King James first, then I'm going to read the Amplified. In Colossians 3 and 5, it says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Then it goes on, it says, "Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conscripciousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So it's telling you these things here you need to mortify. Mortify means, the word mortify means to put to death. You know, put to death, you know, anything in our lives that, you know, would bring inordinate affection, evil, uncleanliness, definitely fornication, because all of those things will deplete our moral integrity to nothing. The Amplified Bible really sums it up. It says, "So kill, deaden, and derive of its power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. Sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and greed, and covetousness, for that is idolatry." And he goes on to say that, you know, to put all of this far from us, you know, because what it does now, when the Bible talks about the works of the flesh, you know, in Galatians 5 and 19. You know, the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. And some of these, you know, sometimes you just have to look them up. Like, for instance, the word variance. Variance means different behavior that produces dispute and controversy. You know, when a person is operating in variance, they try to vary something to bring about a dispute, an argument, and to raise controversy, disagreement, dissension, and discord. You know, people who they're always disagreeable. They're operating in variance. And another one I looked up, emulation, is a work of the flesh and signifies the stirring up of jealousy, or envy, a desire of superiority, and to cause competition or rivalry. When a person is operating in emulation, what they're trying to do, they're trying to stir up jealousy or rivalry among people, you know. And the Bible says if you're operating in that, you cannot operate in honor. You know, so these are the things, you know, when you're looking at operating in integrity and uprightness of heart, these are things we want to make sure in our lives that we don't do. You know, even the word heresy, you know, I've always looked at that from a larger point of view, but it says that an heresy is a belief that is against God's established divine government. In other words, let me give you a simple one. If you say, "I'm a pastor and I don't have to answer to an apostle because God has made me a pastor," and we know because of apostolic government that the apostle and the prophet are the foundations of the church. Well, if you're leading people to believe, "Well, I don't need it," you're really operating in heresy, because now you're taking a belief, and see, that's why it's so important with apostolic government that an apostle heads the church, because one of the gifts or one of the things that they do is they make sure that the doctrine is proper, the doctrine is right, you know, and so that everybody can be on one accord and one page and flow properly. But when you have people who operated in heresy, they'll take scripture and twist it and turn it for their own benefit, you know, and don't want to even, you know, be a part of what God, they think they're doing it, but they're renegades, and that God can't bless that because that's not divine order. All right, let me move on. I got 4 minutes. Serving, the fourth area that will produce honor is serving. Proverbs 27 and 17 through 18, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. When you wait on your man of God, your master, you know, you shall be honored. And wait doesn't mean sitting around waiting for something to happen. When you go to a restaurant, a good waiter will make sure that your glass is full. They'll come by and ask you, do you need this? Do you need that? You know, and once you finish a dish, say your salad, they'll pick up your salad bowl. You know, if you need more napkins or whatever, you know, they're constantly serving. And when you have a good waiter, you don't have a problem giving them a generous tip, you know. And so it says here in Proverbs that iron sharpen iron. Now, you can sharpen a knife with iron because it'll sharpen. Iron will sharpen iron. But even so, you can take, for instance, aluminum, which is a soft metal, and you can mix it with titanium, which is a stronger metal, and you can blend them together to form even a stronger metal. When I used to work in industry, there were certain areas of certain parts of the unit that they needed stronger material, so they would blend the metals together so that the iron or the metal could withstand the temperature and all of the different acids that was going through that particular line. And so when it says that iron sharpens iron, you know, it makes it sharper, but when you blend them together, they become stronger, and they can perform, you know, greater things. And it says, so whosoever keepeth the fig tree eateth the fruit thereof, so he that waited on his master shall be honored. Elijah, if you can serve Elijah, if you can serve your Elijah, you will reap the seed of honor. In other words, because Elisha served Elisha, he reaped the seeds of honor, and God blessed him with a double portion. No, Joshua, if you can serve your Moses, well then now you, he said, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, you know, and Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, which Moses, you know, that was his objective, but Joshua carried him on in. Why? Because Joshua served Moses to the end, you know, and that's so very important. You know, David served Saul, even though Saul didn't care for David at the end. David said, I'm not gonna hurt my man of God. There were times where he could have actually taken Saul out, but he said, no, as the Lord living in my house, I'm not doing this. You know, I'm not, you know, he even had cut his skirt, and it wrote him. I got him so upset until he says, hey, no, I'm leaving, I'm not doing it because he's God's anointed. You know, and because of that, God blessed David, because David waited till God placed him on the throne. He didn't overthrow Saul. He waited to the right time where God says, I made you king. You know, even though God had refused Saul, Saul was still on the throne. And it wasn't until God placed David in that position that he walked into it. I got 47 seconds. He then also said that the individual that keepeth the fig tree. Now, a fig tree bears figs that, you know, that can be used for nourishment. It says, in other words, if you understand what produces life, what produces fruit in your life, and you protect the fruit bearing agencies of life, that life will produce honor. let me kind of paraphrase that in 15 seconds. When you serve your man of God and you help protect that anointing that's on his life, that's a fruit-bearing agent, the fruit coming into your life. And when you protect him by whatever service that you do, well, then now that allows you to be a partaker of the fruit, because you're protecting what was precious to God, and you now, because of your service in protecting may just be opening the door, you know, just whatever, you know, serving things that he don't have to do, because now, you know, you're in that position and his anointing is protected. And so he can be fresh to come and to minister when he needs to. And you now reap the benefits of your service. Amen. All right. I'll see you guys next week.